Today's guest on Medeo Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Josh Douglas, COO and co-founder of CPTI, a company building perovskite-based energy harvesting designed to change how we power connected devices. We met at CES, where Josh showed me a nanomaterial solar layer thin enough to go on almost any surface and capable of harvesting energy from indoor light, off-angle light, and wavelengths traditional silicon struggles to capture. In this conversation, we talk about what perovskites actually are, why conventional silicon panels leave energy on the table, and how higher energy density can unlock more frequent reporting, additional sensing, and even edge AI in LoRaWAN deployments. We also get into the real-world issues, lifetime limitations, commercialization hurdles, and how CPTI is bridging the gap from lab science to DigiKey listings and deployable hardware. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation and is dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. If you'd like to try Helium's publicly available global LoRaWAN for free and support this show, sign up at metsci.show/console. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Josh Douglas. Josh, thanks so much for coming on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Nick. Good to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. We're going to talk about perovskite. We met in Las Vegas at CES, and you had showed me this pretty cool material that I think of as like a solar panel you can maybe put on anything. But I thought we'd start with tell me a little bit more about what this stuff is and why people in IoT and LoRaWAN might want to pay attention to it.
Totally. What the stuff is. So what we're building at CPTI is perovskite-based energy harvesting. Perovskite, it's a family of materials. It's really a few different kinds of materials, but it's most infamous for solar cells, effectively, for photovoltaics. And current photovoltaics, current solar, which I know you're quite used to, Nick, is really good at being cheap, frankly. Mm-hmm. Current solar, it's very cost efficient, and it's kind of built this industry around it. But it is fairly inefficient at actually harnessing energy. It only is responsive to basically one wavelength of light and needs to absorb that light at a pretty direct angle. It needs to be pretty spot on to capture anything material, which I see you nodding your head. So this is a problem that I know that you see.
Yep.
Furthermore, current silicon pretty much needs to be adhered onto glass. That's how you really, really harness it. So what that means is you deal with a cheap, certainly, but a pretty inefficient material that has pretty extreme limitations. What we're working with perovskite really, really changes that dynamic. And so as we talk about, and as I can speak more to, what's so cool about perovskite, a few things. One is it can really harness any kind of light. So whether it's outdoor light, like in the sun, whether it's cloudy light or even indoor light, we can turn all of that to energy at any incident angle. So even if the sun's rising or setting, even if it's off angle light, if it's been bouncing off a few different substances, we can still capture that and turn that into energy, which is amazing. And on top of that, perovskite, as I know we discussed, it's a nanomaterial. So it's thinner than a human hair. It's very energy dense. We can put it really, again, on any surface with minimal added mass.
Okay. So let me make sure I'm understanding that. If I think of solar panels and I put up a bunch on these kind of off-grid LoRaWAN gateways, is it's a big piece of glass. You got to be pretty careful with it.
Yeah.
Relatively inefficient. I mean, we're more efficient than when we started with solar panels in the 50s, but still, I forget what it is at now, maybe 20%-ish, maybe less.
Yeah.
And then a little bit heavy, and then it has to have the sun hitting it directly. So I've always had to basically match the angle to the latitude is what I think, or the way I think of doing
yeah.
it. And so with this stuff, with perovskite, you don't have to do any of those and you can put it on anything. Is there, I mean, there's got to be a downside. Is this thing super expensive? Like why would I not use perovskite?
Why you would not use it is because it just really hasn't been ready. I wouldn't call it a new class of material, but it's one that's been in the pipelines for a while. It's been in the works for some time. I did work on perovskite in undergrad. And really, it's come a long way since then. And namely, in its performance, its efficiency, its lifetime, all these different things, it's improved. And so the reason why you haven't used perovskite yet is just because it hasn't been ready yet. We're now beginning to see companies really commercialize perovskite. At CPTI, we're really leading the way. You know, what I will say to your point is that cost, because it's a newer material, there's not that same industry around it like there is silicon. But because it's a nanomaterial, it's pretty easy to process that over time, you will see the cost fall dramatically.
Okay. And what's the cost comparison now if I'm buying a whatever, a little solar panel that I might use for an IoT device, a couple inches by a couple inches.
Yeah.
What does that same thing look like as far as the energy that I need to match it in perovskite?
Yeah, totally. So right now, if you say buy a cell off DigiKey, for example, or Aero, our modules are on a surplus energy, as in we, you know, like what we're capturing above and beyond, we are getting you anywhere from 5 to 20% more energy, more efficiency. What that means in practice, because as you said, most cells currently are on the order of 10 to 20% efficient. So we are, again, depending on your form factor, on your latitude, on your conditions, we are up to doubling the energy that you're able to harness. So we can drive pretty awesome gains in energy, which allows you to report more frequently, which allows you to pack more sensing on your node, which really opens up all these different application spaces, which we haven't seen before.
I mean, the obvious one is AI. AI is this giant energy sucking machine.
What's that? I'm kidding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Man, this guy's really been in the closet. No, so this AI piece, it seems like this would fit well into the narrative by saying, hey, you can either use a smaller panel because this stuff is more efficient, or use the same size panel and kind of replace what you've got, and now you've got more energy to use. Is that the general storyline here, or is there additional pieces to it that I might be missing just because I'm coming into this for the first time?
Totally. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head, which is that energy is critical. And in many cases, we are stuck with batteries, we're stuck with outdated solar. And so we've really grown used to these energy constraints, right? I like to think of, to go back a year or two or a few decades, to the Walkman versus the iPod, right? And how the unlock with the iPod was that you carry all these songs in your pocket that you couldn't before. And most people at first didn't see a need for that, right? They thought that carrying all these albums around in your pocket, what's the point? Now we take it for granted, right? That's how we feel with energy, and that we don't know how much we've been limited because we think in a very different framework. We want to change that paradigm, right? And you know, when it comes to certainly latest and greatest machine learning, AI, that's a big driver, right? We talk about edge computing, we talk about physical AI. These are very real tailwinds that we're seeing across LoRa, that we're seeing across devices, sensing. That'll be a big tailwind, but just even in general, right? I mean, even if you aren't adding compute on the edge, you want to collect more data. You want to create, and I mean, I'm based in Silicon Valley, so I'm in this world. Like, you know, we want to create these role models. We want to add autonomy. You want to create these frameworks such that you can add intelligence all over the place, which will take a lot of sensing, a lot of data, obviously a lot of compute up places, and all these things take more energy. The irony, of course, with all this, Nick, is that we are surrounded by energy in the form of light. There's tons of energy all around us, but we don't harness it due to the limitations of our materials. Again, this is how we think at CPTI, and this is what we're really looking forward to bringing to the LoRa community.
Okay, cool. And if I think about it, you can't be just a material science nerd. You've got to put the whole thing together and be able to say, hey, this is what this material is. This is how it works. And then here's the business case, and here's how you buy it, and here's how you install it. There's a bunch of different things you have to do. You've worked at Apple in the past, so hopefully some of that, like, hey, this thing has to work easily, has gotten imbued into you. Mm-hmm. Talk me through the bridging the gap between this kind of cool material that works and then getting it deployed in the real world at scale.
Yeah, that's critical. That is what holds back many exciting innovations across science, is how to actually bridge that gap, right? Even for me throughout my own career, again, I did work on perovskites in undergrad. I went in thinking I would go off and get a PhD in material science to save the world. Learning about perovskites moved me away from that, not because I lacked faith in the material, but just because I saw firsthand, while there was great work happening in the lab, the actual translation, the actual movement from lab to market was still unsolved and still very murky. And that's, again, that's how we think about it at CPTI. And we have the opportunity to work with these really game-changing materials in perovskites, having these best-in-class chemistries really working on the cutting edge. And there are so many places to put it, right? And I mean, we could be on a different podcast talking about the opportunity for perovskites in space on satellites, the opportunity for perovskites on the walls of buildings, or of course in solar farms, the classic solar application. All these markets have their own merits and demerits, and I'd be happy to talk about those if you're curious. But what makes us so excited about, again, like sensing and LoRaWAN, is that it's energy where you need it, and that's where we can make a difference. And so for us, it's a matter of both understanding the material, but also understanding the spaces in which we could apply it, understanding how customers could adopt it, how they can integrate it in, and really making it as easy as possible for people to adopt. We don't want to add all these barriers and gateways. We think a lot about how to distribute, how to get this into people's hands, or how to talk about this in the first place, such that we can get people excited and educated and not be some research project.
I think about the guests who have come on, Julian Berlini over at Volvo, or, you know, from that kind of really high level, like, hey, these guys are rolling this out across giant campuses, to Robert Boggs in Germany, who's rolling it out in his village, to Dean Marsh in the UK. If those guys are listening, where would they go to get perovskite for their next project and see, like, hey, is this going to work? Can you just order it on DigiKey and it's like a swap out with your current solar panel? Is it some different weirdo voltage? Is it some, like, what are the things that they're going to get the gotcha from? And then what are the things where I'm like, what did I know about this before?
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit, as I was saying prior, Nick, is just that this is a new material, and that it's really taken time for industry to meet up with the science and to find a way to commercialize it. But again, we're leading the pack. We have undergone certifications. We've undergone the testing needed such that folks can use this. We're being listed on DigiKey, on Aero, all the places that you would, you know, want to procure these things. You know, and again, that's something that we think about differently than other people, is just really trying to short that leap. Of course, folks are always welcome to reach out to us via our website in the interim.
And this is just cpti.com?
It's cpti.co, exactly.
.co,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah, and then when it comes to the voltages, the, like, voltages, everything, it's very, very similar to silicon. That's no different. The thing that, again, like, really sets perovskite apart is being able to capture different wavelengths of light and different energies at different angles. And so generally with silicon, right, like on the IV curve of the energy that it's capturing and what you're using, generally you really only need to capture the peak loads of energy, because it's a very steep drop off with silicon. Mm-hmm. Perovskite, we actually are more efficient in lower light conditions. And so we are able to harness more energy. It basically makes more sense to harness energy at a wider range of voltages and currents and wattage and so on. So it's really vast, the only difference. It's not like this is a whole different paradigm. You know, it can still work with the same kind of controllers, the same kind of PMICs. It's just that due to the material, you are inclined to harness more of the energy and use it for your devices.
Interesting. What's the simplest possible case where someone would say, like, hey, I'm just going to swap out this stuff. I've got 100 or 1,000 or 10 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What would you say? Like, hey, just start with this. That way you get your feet wet without getting in over your, your neck.
Totally. That's it, right? Is trying it out. And in many cases, you don't need a controller. In many cases, you can just swap this in for your silicon panels. If you have some sort of PMIC or MVPT that's converting voltage, that will harness much of the energy as well. And then over time, there's obviously ways to optimize. We're actually working on our own reference designs, on our own, like, dev kits, to, again, make it easier for people to adopt and to harness the energy. But there are tons of ways to optimize and perfect and to harness every microwatt, you know, but not every application needs that quite yet.
We don't all need microwatts, although some of us...
I was going to say, that this is the world that does, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I know that with my little balloon project, we're trying to harvest every piece we can because it's such a tiny little board.
Yeah.
Let's see, are there any big downsides? Like, how long does it last? Does this thing just crumble in 5 years and it's like, oh, it's cheaper and better, but you got to replace it every 5 years? Are there any other kind of big downsides that folks should know about before they go racing off to buy out the entire stock of DigiKey or Aero, or whatever you guys have?
Yeah, of course. So that has been the limiting factor for perovskite, is lifetime. So when I was...
Really?
Okay. Yeah, so back in the day when I was a researcher, it was on the order of about a month or two was the lifetime of perovskite.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It was very, very quick. It would degrade very quickly. Now it's up to around 10-year lifetime.
Okay.
And then we are best in class at around 15 years lifetime. So,
okay.
So this is more than enough for most applications.
Sure.
And obviously too, we are often sitting alongside a battery, right? We are harvesting energy to work with a battery.
Mm-hmm.
Most batteries are lasting for 5, maybe 10 years. So you don't need to last for 20 years if the battery's going to fail in 10 anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting. I didn't know it was so short at the start of it. Although I would say if you're listening to this, don't remember the 1 month thing. Remember the 15-year thing. That's the key here. I always thought it was cool when people ask about how long do solar panels last. We say, we don't know because the first ones that went up in the late 50s are still running.
Yeah.
But as you said, if you're trying to charge a battery that died 40 years ago, then who cares?
Yeah. Well, Nick, that's like also the dirty secret of silicon, of basically every other solar material, is that they also have a lifetime in a similar range. Maybe they're lasting for 20 years with only 10% degradation, but they're covered under warranty for 30 years for whatever is needed to bank a project, to finance a project. And what happens is that these solar producers, they sign these warranties thinking and planning for the price to drop so much that once the customer comes knocking and collects on the warranty, that it'll cost them very little to substitute out the old panels
and
put in new ones. So even though they say 30 years, that's just a marketing gimmick. It's a very funny industry.
Huh. Live and learn. That's a nice little gamble for a business to play. It's like, hey, by the time we replace these, it's going to be cheaper. Don't worry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ripping. Well, Josh, thanks so much for carving out time. I know you're busy. I know the whole founding thing is not like a 9 to 5. It's more like a 12 to 12. So thanks for coming on and talking to us about perovskite.
Of course. Thank you, Nick, for having us.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. If you want to go deeper and actually deploy devices, the Medio Scientific Console is the fastest way to do that. And honestly, it's also the best way to support the show. When you use the console, you're not just listening, you're participating in the same real-world LoRaWAN work we talk about here every week. You can get started with a free trial at medioscientific.com. Huge thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Helium Foundation, for supporting open LoRaWAN infrastructure worldwide. Check them out at helium.foundation. And if the show's been useful, a quick rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this really helps people find it and helps the show grow so we can help more people. I'm Nick Hawks with Medio Scientific. I'll catch you on the next episode.